It is time for TY's 20 right here on WordPress Radio, and tonight we've got a special edition show for you. We are on location, Jack's Landing, downtown, enjoying the beautiful night. And I say we because Tyler Sickmeyer is joining us, not on the phone. He is actually here in Florida for the week, and so we're bringing him on for the show. Tyler, welcome.
Hey, as always, it's great to be here. Love your studio setup. Very open, a lot less cramped than most radio stations that I've been in.
Yeah, we've got a beautiful view here at Jack's Landing, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to, what do you call them, pedestrians?
I prefer locals.
Yeah, hopefully some locals around. They want to talk about the Super Bowl and whatnot, but it's great to be out here. Great to have a lot to talk about on today's show, and we're going to begin, of course, with the Super Bowl preview, which is in Indianapolis next week. And it's a rematch of Super Bowl 42, Giants-Patriots. Let's just dive right into this. Who do you like in this game? What are some of the biggest storylines for this game for you?
Biggest storyline is that it's a complete bummer that two teams that I absolutely hate are playing for the Super Bowl. Not much to be excited about there. As far as the winner goes, I really like the Giants, mainly because they just seem to have that mojo that another team had last fall when most of the nation was picking against them. Every game, every round, they managed to win a World Series, and that World Championship was probably neglected on this show, and I haven't been a guest since they've won. But that would be the 2011 St. Louis Cardinals, a team that barely got in, just as the Giants barely got in on the last day of the regular season when they beat the Cowboys, not once but twice in the last 3 weeks to get into the playoffs in the first place. Now find themselves in the Super Bowl, much like the Cardinals got in on the last day and rode that momentum all the way to a World Series title.
So not even a minute into the show, and we're already talking about the Cardinals. And, you know, I did admit on the show a couple months back that I was surprised, gave the Cardinals credit, and then here you are saying that they're discredited. I don't know. We got a nice boat passing us right now. Don't know if you can hear that or not. But I think we've already lost some viewers and listeners, I should say, because we're already talking about St. Louis.
I'm guessing we're probably out of viewers completely on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't think so. We got lots of fans and diehard loyal fans. We thank you for that.
Probably plenty of listeners, but not many viewers.
You know, I guess this needs to be said for everyone out there. This dude that I'm talking to right now and sitting on a bench without Jack's Landing downtown, he is claiming that the St. Louis Cardinals are guaranteed to win 90 games this year, even though they lost Pujols, La Russa, Dave Duncan. Yeah, they get Wainwright back. They might be signing Roy Oswalt. But that's just one of the most ridiculous comments I've ever heard in sports, and I guess that's why he's on the show today.
Well, all I'll say about the Cardinals is this, and then we'll move on to other things. When you look back at the powerful Astros teams in the mid-2000s that won 90 games, a powerful third of that team was Oswalt, Berkman, and Beltran. We now have a third of those teams, so those guys account for like 30 wins on their own. The rest of the team should be good for 60.
Now their grandchildren are getting ready to play. So we need to talk about the Super Bowl, though. That's the main thing that we're going to talk about at the beginning of the show, at least. Now, the Giants and the Patriots met once in the regular season. The Giants won that game by 4 points. I will say this, even though I am a Patriots hater, they have won 10 games straight overall, and you can't argue with that. You can't argue with Tom Brady being in the Super Bowl for the fifth time, trying to get his fourth ring. But to be honest, the Pats didn't play a very difficult schedule for this season, and I still like the Giants in this game. And my number one reason, I know every game is different, but tell me if you agree with this or disagree, I think it's tougher to beat the Pack in Green Bay than it is to beat the Patriots indoors. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. I think it's actually gotten easier for the Giants each game from the Packers to the 49ers, and I don't think the Patriots on a neutral field indoors will be nearly as tough as winning in San Francisco 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely, and you know what? It pains me to say this, and I've mentioned it before on the podcast. Crazy fans driving by now. Crazy fans. I've mentioned this before that if Tom Brady gets his fourth ring, I'm not going to have much of an argument, unfortunately, on the Peyton Manning side, even though I still think Peyton's a better quarterback overall. If Tom gets to that fourth ring compared to Peyton's one, it's not going to be real easy for me to say that, and I hate to admit it. You're just kind of smiling at me. What do you think?
Well, all I have to say about Tom Brady is that if you can win rings, date attractive women, and avoid paternity suits. Good for you.
Expert analysis from Tyler Sickmeyer. We're going to see if we can get some locals to talk about the Super Bowl. If any of them walk by, some of them are just kind of giving us crazy looks. We'll see if that happens. How about this? Something that we haven't really talked about. What do you think will be some of the side Super Bowl bets this year? You know, some of the funny ones. I'll give you an example. I think this should be one. Over under 50 total words from Bill Belichick in post-game conference if the Pats lose.
Oh, I'm definitely taking the under on that. I'll also take the over on 4 as far as answers of Bill Belichick's that are actual questions back to the press.
You got any of those? Have you seen any this year yet, or is that something that really comes up the following week?
It's really something that comes up the following week. It's so tough to tell. There's so many cliches that go with the Super Bowl every year. How many ad breaks will there be? How many more commercials can we squeeze in? Will we cut away from touchdown celebrations to get an extra 30-second spot in? That is an extra $2 million for the network. So who knows what will happen, but as always, it's sure to be a great event.
Yeah, and like I said, the game is actually in Indianapolis. And speaking of that, there's a lot of talk about the Colts still and Peyton Manning. I just had an article on the website a couple weeks ago admitting that even as a sports lover and podcast giver, I have no idea what the Colts should do in the situation that they're in. It's a very difficult situation. And we'd love for you to check that article out. Have you checked that out?
I'm reading it right now as we speak.
Okay, if not, you're fired. But anyway, it's sounding more and more like Peyton is going to be released by the Colts, mainly for the health reasons, unless he makes a huge improvement in the next month or so, which is very possible. Regeneration of the neck or whatever is going on can come back quickly and randomly, but more than likely, it's not going to happen. And it's a very sad day possibly coming for the Colts. I mean, even as a Rams fan, how do you think that would make me feel?
Well, we actually went through this back when Kurt Warner, who revitalized the franchise, was traded, and it wasn't even as serious of an injury as what Peyton went through. I mean, you actually have a legitimate dilemma. Warner just had some finger issues, was traded to the Giants, and then to make way for Eli Manning, was traded again to the Cardinals, where he went and made another trip to the Super Bowl, because obviously when he left St. Louis, he was washed up for good. I don't think it's that clear cut and dry with Peyton, just because there's so much gray area with the neck and with concussions and the spine and everything that goes into that from a medical standpoint and the long-term risks. It's not really appropriate for any of us to speculate as to what Peyton's actually dealing with. Only he knows. Only the doctors know. And if at the end of the day, it's going to come down to percentages. I mean, at best case, you're looking at 4 more quality years of Peyton Manning. Best case, that's probably not the case. You have a golden opportunity to take another Peyton Manning this year in the draft. I think you have to do it. Although I think if you have a chance to bring back Peyton and let your future franchise quarterback learn from one of the all-time greats for a year or two, I think you do that. It certainly didn't hurt Aaron Rodgers any.
Yeah, it's been weird for me to even wrap my mind around the fact of Peyton Manning possibly not being in Indianapolis, but they do have a golden opportunity, like you said. Draft Andrew Luck. They just brought in a new coach, Chuck Pagano. Do you think that's a good hire? Maybe bring some defense to Indy for once?
It all depends on how he drafts. I mean, that to me, that's the first and real telltale sign of a head coach is how he drafts the first time he's a head coach. Obviously, he put a really great defense together in Baltimore, and if Indy is able to have something anywhere similar to that and maintains the offensive potency that they've had over the years, they'll be right back at the top of it in no time.
Well, he may have a good input on who to draft, but Ryan Grigson, the new GM, is going to have a lot to do with that, obviously. And a lot of Colts fans, even though we've loved offense over the years, we really feel like it's time for defense in Indianapolis, and it's going to be very strange to rebuild. Reggie Wayne's likely gone. The last time the Colts rebuilded?
I believe the term is rebuilt.
Rebuilt. The last time the Colts were rebuilt, it was Peyton Manning's first year. They had a number one pick. They went 3-13, but the very next year they made the playoffs, and you know the rest of the story after that. So as a Colts fan, that's what I'm hoping for in the coming years, but we'll see what happens. Anything else on that?
Hopefully the Rams stay in St. Louis. It's sad. We have Jeff Fisher as a new head coach, and unfortunately, we can't even talk about the coaching situation. We're just hoping to keep our football team. So for those of you in Seattle that lost the Supersonics and all the other cities that have lost sports franchises over the years, I feel your pain. We're probably going to go through the same thing, as is the fine city of Jacksonville.
We've got some locals coming here, and they look like they are very interested in talking to us. We'll see if they let us know anything. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I believe they said Unos, as in number 11. So whichever team has a number 11 will probably win the game.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught that, the one lady in the red jacket there. She said, not my team. So she could either be a Jacksonville fan or, you know, who knows. But they were a little microphone shy, I think.
Yeah, alcohol doesn't serve as a liquid courage for everybody.
Let's try it again. Hey, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
The guy that wins.
The guy that wins. That's good. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
It's not the Bears.
Do you think the Patriots are going to win? You like Tom Brady?
No, I think
so. Oh, so do I. That's good. Oh, Giants beat your Packers. All right. I don't know about these folks here, but
It seems that a lot of Northerners have come down to check out the live edition of the podcast since I was going to be on it. I have a fan following from the Green Bay, Chicago region that has come down to check it out. I appreciate that and want to thank my fans for paying attention to the first time I've been on the podcast since the Cardinals won a championship and won a championship. Thanks.
Anyway, we will talk a little basketball now. Let's talk NBA. It's a shortened season. There's lots of games going on every week, lots of excitement. To you, what have been the main storyline so far in the NBA season? There's been about 18 to 20 games played for each team, which is coming up on a third of the way through the season.
A couple main storylines. I think number one is going to be, where does Dwight Howard end up? I think at this point, after he criticized his team publicly, I think the Magic have reached a point where there's no way they can keep him through the end of the year, which is kind of surprising that he's forcing his hand here, because the Magic aren't that bad of a squad and are really a couple legitimate players away from competing in the Eastern Conference. But my prediction, honestly, at the end of the year is that Dwight Howard and Deron Williams both go to Dallas with Dirk, and they'll become the new Western Conference favorite for the next couple of years. As far as this season itself goes, the most interesting thing is the scheduling. With all these back-to-backs and back-to-back-to-backs and four games in 5 days, it becomes absolutely unpredictable on a night-to-night basis. As anyone that might have theoretically gambled on a game or two this year would know, point spreads are incredibly tough to cover this year.
Which does make it a little bit exciting, of course, for the fans, and I'm just so glad that they got the lockout over with and started playing some ball. My Pacers, of course, I'm going to talk about a little bit here. Not really that it's a big surprise, because I predicted them to be about the 4 seed, and that's probably what they're going to end up doing. But they're off to a 12-6 start. And I know we got a lot of Pacer fans that listen to this show, and they've played a lot of their games on the road, which is good. Now, there's one little problem. The offense still hasn't come around. It hasn't been consistent. In fact, I believe the offensive efficiency of this team is about 21st in the NBA. So if they're going to be an elite team, that's something that has to change. And I do think it will. Maybe not a ton, but when your best player, Danny Granger's shooting about 38% for the year, you know that's going to improve, which is going to help the offense a lot. But I think this team's going to end up being, again, like a 4 seed, win a playoff series, and then maybe take on the Bulls or the Heat in an awesome round 2, which I'm not going to predict they're going to win that, but I do think they would take them deep, and I think it's going to be fun. Playoffs this year are going to be crazy. Remember the first lockout? New York Knicks, 8 seed, made the finals. That could happen again.
It could, but not likely. I hate to break it to everyone, but the Heat are going to win the championship this year. I'm not a Heat fan. It's just reality. It's going to happen. My prediction out of the West is that the Thunder will meet them there. I don't see anyone else having the youth to be able to tolerate this short and compacted of an NBA schedule, or having the experience and the offensive power to produce consistently over the course of the playoffs like the Thunder can.
Yeah, unless the Dallas Mavericks make those moves that you were talking about, or at least one of them, they've been kind of a disappointment, and they've kind of had the championship hangover. Dirk Nowitzki even was quoted a couple weeks ago as saying that he didn't do much basketball-related workouts in the off season. Of course, there was a lockout, but that's your only job as a professional, is to stay in shape, go to the gym in the off season. That's it. So hats off to them for winning that title, but you'd like to see a little bit better out of the reign of that title. Got another question for you, kind of interesting, basketball related, or I guess it could be any team, but I'm still talking basketball. Have you ever had a favorite team? That guy wanted to talk, but he kept walking. Have you ever had a favorite team whose fan base kind of got on a player, and maybe it was unwarranted, maybe there was really no reason in your eyes that it happened? Do you have any examples like that? Because I've got a couple.
It's happened from time to time. I think Illinois has been guilty of that with plenty of players over the years. One example comes to mind is Brian Cook. Everyone kind of got on Brian for not being more of a typical Big Ten banger and rebounder, when Brian's skill set was to shoot threes and draw out the defense on the perimeter. And with the guards that Brian played with, that wasn't a problem at all. But people just seemed to expect more from him. And it happens from time to time with every team. Everyone expects more than what they get. And I always find that amusing to me. If you're not capable of playing at that level and you're not writing the players' checks, to me, you only have so much room to talk when it comes to criticizing people that dedicate their lives to their passion, because I don't think you'd appreciate it too much if people showed up at your office and criticized how you turned in your receipts or your accounting or how your sales calls were going.
Absolutely, that's a good example, and I think that it happens a lot of times, especially to some fans who maybe get a little too passionate, or sometimes they think they know what's going on, and it really may not be the case. The couple examples I have, Verdell Jones for IU basketball, he's been on the team for 4 years. He's, you know, came here when they were rebuilding from nothing. He's gone through a lot of stuff in these 4 years rebuilding, and now that the team is good again, he's getting a lot of crap for, not performing as well as they think a senior should, but that's not really his game. He's more, he can score. He's a little lackluster on defense, and he makes some careless turnovers, but he has meant a lot for this program, and sometimes I just don't like to see people get on a kid like that who's giving his heart and soul to the team and doing the best that he can. Now, my example in the pros is Danny Granger. I've talked about him a lot on this show. He was a 17th overall pick, and he has really made himself a very good player, all-star caliber. He's not a superstar, but sometimes fans expect a little bit too much out of guys when he's kind of forced into the superstar role. He is what he is, great scorer. He can hit clutch shots from time to time. He's not going to carry the team to a championship all by himself, and so fans need to get off him a little bit. Know what I'm saying?
I think the fans hear you loud and clear, T.Y.
I guess one more topic we'll talk about, IU and Illinois coming up pretty soon, so we can talk about those teams a little bit. I've been talking about Verdell Jones. My Hoosiers are in a little bit of a slump. They've lost 4 out of 5 games. Haven't won a big road game. I mean, they did win on a neutral court against Notre Dame. They did win at NC State. But when it comes to the Big Ten, they haven't had that big road win yet. And, very much in this world today, it's a what have you done for me lately. And there's a lot of fans freaking out. And I don't understand why that is happening as well. The Hoosiers were never supposed to even be ranked this year. Even though they've lost 4 games recently, they're still going to be in the top 20 in next week's polls. And you just need to chill out a little bit and enjoy the season and understand that they're having a great season. No team has had 2 better wins than this team. They're going to make the tournament. They got an exciting team. They've got a chance to be a high seed for the tournament. So they're going to go through slumps. Am I right? So get off them a little bit. Enjoy the season a little bit, and next year is when the brass is coming. So that's my assessment on IU. How about Illinois?
Well, whether or not you wear red in Bloomington or orange and blue in Champaign, both fan bases have to understand there is so much parity, not just in the Big Ten, which there always is, but in college basketball throughout. Recruiting has gotten deeper. There are more highly developed athletes thanks to the expansion of AAU in high school and better coaching and better training available to high school students. So even mid-majors are attracting quality basketball players, and they can put a string of wins together, and it literally is getting to be like the NFL and NBA, where anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And that's what you've seen with a couple of quality wins by the Hoosiers, and even Illinois posting a couple quality wins at home. Such as the big win over Ohio State, and then they went and puked up a road game to Penn State that not that long after, which my gosh, they've lost to Penn State four times. The last four times they've played Penn State, they've lost by a total of 6 points. And I don't think Penn State has ever been ranked higher than eighth in the Big Ten, which is absolutely abominable. But, you know, overall, it's not about whether or not your team is good. I think Indiana and Illinois are both good, but the difference is can they become great? And the difference between good and great is consistency. And that'll be the key for both teams as they continue to grow and develop and recruit, is can they be consistently great on every night that they play? And even when you lose a game, lose with effort, lose with hustle, and don't go down without a fight. Don't take a blowout. Don't lose games that you should win on the road. Don't never lose at home. That's what great teams do. And that neither Illinois or Indiana is there yet. It'll be interesting to see if either can develop into that, not even this year, but in the coming years.
Great analysis from two-time IBL champion Tyler Sickmeyer. This has been awesome. Mike and Mike need to move over because the two Tylers are coming for them. This has been just a beautiful view. I know you can't see it when you're listening to this, but trust me, it's gorgeous. And you're gorgeous.
Stay gorgeous, Jacksonville.
Thank you so much for listening. This podcast was brought to you by Five Stone Marketing. Check out fivestonemarketing.com. And enjoy the Super Bowl. Go Giants. Tom Brady, we don't like you. And we'll see you next time. As Harry Carey would say,
that's all, folks.
Only the shadow knows. Take care.